Privilege to introduce our 10-minute speaker tonight, Shane from Santa Maria.
Yeah, hopefully we're going to have some more readings or something. Thank you, Billy.
Shane, alcoholic.
Shane!
I want to thank Mike for asking me to come and do the 10-minute speech in front of him. I've only done this once before, so I'll tell you right now, it's one of my least favorite things to do is get in front of a group and talk. That's the reason, when I was an alcoholic, that's one of the reasons I drank, because I felt uncomfortable, you know, so it's a real push. But anyway, get started. I grew up in Idaho, and looking back on when I first started drinking, you know, after I was sober 2 years, I was trying to think back, and when I started drinking, I remember my earliest thought of drinking was like 8 years old, and my grandpa had remarried because my grandma died, and so I had an aunt that was like, I don't know, 5 years older than me or something, and her friend talked my mom into letting them take me to, I guess, stay with them or whatever over at one of the other houses, my uncle's house or something, and they got me drunk. I don't know what their intentions was, but what they ended up with was an 8-year-old throwing up all over the house. So, you know, and then went on from there. You know, by the time I was 12, I had a couple opportunities. I had an older brother, so I had some real opportunities to drink. You know, he had a 69 GTO, and I used to just had white interior, and I used to just detail that thing to death, and he'd bring me home like these little right time, you know, I don't even know what they were. They were like almost like a wine cooler back then or something, you know. And every time I drank, I threw up, and I still did it again because there was that brief moment there where everything just was okay, you know. By the time I was 16, I had a girl I was dating, and she had asked me if I was an alcoholic. She goes, "Are you an alcoholic?" And I'm like, "No, I'm not. I didn't even know what an alcoholic was. No, I'm not an alcoholic." But by that time, I was. You know, I drank every opportunity I had. If there was anything going on, if they didn't have something to do with alcohol, I didn't want anything to do with it. And if I ran out, I left, you know, or went and found some more. You know, that's just the way it was. And I ended up working construction, so I traveled all over the United States. You know, I went from the East Coast, West Coast, and back. And I ended up going through a couple of divorces. And then in 96, a little crane company here found me over in Washington and offered to move me over here. And they sent a moving van to my house, the whole nine yards, moved me over here. I was here 3 weeks, and I got thrown in jail. I was staring 5 years in a state penitentiary in Idaho. They were going to expedite me and send me to Idaho. You don't think that looked bad, man? That looked bad. They got me on a phone recording saying some stuff to, well, outside issue. Anyway, so, you know, it wasn't pretty. And I ended up getting out of jail. I ended up getting an attorney in Idaho and just ended up on 5 years of probation. But, you know, that wasn't enough to change me at all, you know. And then I joined a bike club here, started running with these guys, by 2005, I'd had a bike shop I opened for about 2 years, and I was either working or I was in my bike shop. And when I was in my bike shop, I was drinking. Had a fridge in there full of beer. You know, that's just the way it was. And so pretty much ignoring the wife on the other end of the deal, so she decided to leave. So in 2005, when she left, I can tell you for a fact, I never had a sober breath. I mean, I'm talking morning, noon. If I wasn't drinking in the morning, I was drinking at noon. And I stayed drunk until I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's just the way it was, man. It was every single day. Handle of vodka in the fridge, start out with beer, go to that, and that was every night. Every single night and every single day. And you know, when you're drinking like that, things just don't last long. And that crane company I was working for, I had an office, I had a company truck, and I'm just reporting, I had a six-figure salary. I mean, that's just the way it was. And it was great. And one day I woke up and looked in the mirror and I said, I can't do this anymore. And I went in there, I loaded my stuff up, and I quit that fantastic job because they weren't treating me right, you know. And I just, they just weren't treating me right. And I look back on that now and I'm going, how could I even think that, you know, I wasn't, you know, they weren't giving me the credit I was due or anything, you know. But, you know, that's the alcoholic mentality. And so in 2000, I guess it was 2010, it was my 50th birthday, and I started drinking before my birthday, and I think I stayed drunk for about 4 or 5 days straight. And funny story, too, because we were driving over here. Mike come pick me up, and he looked next door, and one of the other people that's in this, in our society here, his truck's parked out front, and he goes, "Is that Ralph?" And I go, "Yeah." And he goes, "Tino?" And I go, "Yeah, yeah." And I said, "Yeah, man, you should have seen my 50th birthday party. I had Molochs over there. I had all kinds of bikes. We 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, nobody said nothing, you know. And then, I don't know, 6, 7 months later, I run across him at a meeting, you know, and I had to make some amends there for that. But anyway, to get past that, so I had the opportunity to, that I knew a gal that was in this program. She lived with myself, my girlfriend, for a while when she was getting sober. As a matter of fact, I took myself and some of the guys in my club, and we went and moved her out of the shitty situation, and she moved in with us. And she was about to lose her job, and she had to get in the program. So I kind of got to watch that, but I was watching and drinking, you know. All I remember is she was drinking Red Bulls and smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day, you know, for about a year. But so anyway, I told her, I go, "Man, I got to do something." She goes, "Why don't you come?" So she took me to a speaker meeting. And it was the one down in Grover. And I went in there and I sat down and I listened to the speaker and I looked around at the people and I just was like, "This is not for me, man. This is..." They linked up for the Serenity Prayer, and I went through there like I was busting a gate, man. I couldn't get out of there fast enough. So I went back out. I didn't go back out. I was doing it on my own, and I lasted about 7 months. And I was, you know, I was the most miserable person on the face of the planet, man. I hated everything, everybody. I couldn't, my girlfriend, I moved in, moved out, moved in, moved out. You know, I couldn't stand myself, couldn't stand anybody. So naturally, then I went back out after 7 months, and it was just before Christmas, and I drank till January 23rd, 2011. And my last drunk, I don't even know what happened. I don't even know why I did it, but I called for help. The same gal that I asked before, I called her up in the middle of the night, I don't know, 2, 3 in the morning, whenever it was, and I left a message. I don't even know what I said, but she showed up. She picked me up, 7 o'clock. We went and got coffee, sat and talked for a while, and I went to the 1600 Club Sunday morning meeting, and stuck it, man. I sat in that seat, and I stayed. I didn't understand anything. I couldn't, the first 164 pages, I couldn't even relate to anything in there. I'd try and read it, it just didn't work for me, but I'd go to the stories in the back. Those worked for me. And so then the same young lady, Heidi, she was taking me to different meetings. I was going to speaker meetings, I was going to out-of-town meetings, and she goes, and then, who was it, Elisa B., she goes, "You need to get a sponsor." I said, "Well, I've been looking at people." She goes, "I've got somebody for you. I want you to meet him." So she took me to the Lion's Den and introduced me to Joe K., and he's still my sponsor today. And he led me through the steps, and I'm telling you right now, for me, it was fake it till you make it, because I really didn't understand what was going on. And the first year for me was such a fog that it was ridiculous. I just, you know, it just took that long for my head to start clearing, for my mind to start halfway thinking, you know, reasonable and right. You know, that's just the way it was for me. And I remember one day I was taking a shower, and I was in there washing my hair, and all of a sudden, man, I just started breaking down, man. I started feeling funny. I started crying. I was like, "What is going on?" And what it was that the only feelings I had for so many years was either anger, I was either mad, or I was really mad. I mean, there was no love, no hurt, no nothing, because I drank all that away. And then finally, started feeling stuff again, you know. And it was just weird, because I don't think I actually had any kind of feelings like that from the time I was 12 and started drinking, you know. But then to get on with it, so Joe led me through the steps, and after about a year, he told me, "I want you to sponsor, you need to sponsor some guys, you need to start sponsor people." I told him, I said, "Man, I'm not ready for that, I can't do that." He goes, "Well, you need to." And so my first guy, he calls me outside, and he goes, "I want to introduce you to so-and-so, I won't share his name because he's not here anymore." And he goes, "He's going to be your sponsor," he tells the guy. I'm like, "What?" You know, he didn't ask me. That's the way it works. And that's the way he still does it today. If he wants me to sponsor, you know, he goes, "You need some guys." That's the way he does it, you know? And, you know, it works. And I was kind of worried because I, you know, some of the guys I sponsored, some are still here, some are gone, you know? And Daryl was sharing one time, he said he had a guy called him up to interview him, to sponsor him, you know? And the guy's talking to Daryl, and Daryl's driving, and the guy's asking, well, how many guys you sponsored, you know, this and that. And then he finally asked him, he goes, well, what's your success rate? And Daryl thought about it for a minute and said, come on, the nerve of this guy. And he said, 100%. And the guy said, really? He goes, yeah, I stayed sober through every single one of them, you know? And if you look at it that way, it's not that bad, because that's really, if you read, that's the way it is in the book, you know? That's what we do to stay sober, you know? And with any luck, so will the other guy. But we have to look at it, you know, we need to take care of us first or we can't help anybody, right? You know? So that's just kind of the way I look at it. So, I'm going to get on here with a little more of my recovery. Oh, yeah, so finally, I got to a point where I felt I could actually be in a relationship again, because I was never good at it. It was terrible. Because when I was drinking, and I was out in the bar, man, if I was married or not, I wasn't married anymore, you know? I was woo-hoo, you know? It was on, and I was the ladies' man, you know? It just didn't work for me. I didn't know how to stay committed in a relationship. I couldn't do it, you know? And so the gal now, I just got married here a couple months ago, and she put up with me through, 3 or 4 years of my drinking, and then 3 years of my sobriety, and there was times when I started getting sober where I thought, I can't do this, you know, I can't stay in a relationship. I'm not ready. And I'm glad I stuck it out, because, you know, she stuck it out with me, and now, I mean, it's for the first time in my entire life, I can actually be in a relationship, feel like I can actually honor that relationship, and actually talk with each other. You know, I couldn't do that before. If I was pissed, I left and went and got drunk. You know, I never talked my way through anything, you know. If you don't like it, tough shit, you know. Hit the road or I'm hitting the road, one or the other, you know, that's the only way it works. But it's not like that today. And I can always tell when I haven't really been doing what I'm supposed to be doing and going to meetings. By the way, when I'm driving down the road, if I see more than 3 assholes on the way between here and Goleta, I know there's something wrong with me, you know? Right? You know what I'm saying? It's just, there's, because before, I mean, I was the guy that was flipping people off, throwing my arms in the air, cutting you off, cutting through the traffic. And when I feel that little thing coming along, and same thing when I'm working with the guys, we're out there in the field, and I start feeling that anger. You know, some guy asked me something, and I feel like telling him, what? I don't work for you, you know? But it's not like that anymore. Now I can actually respond to a situation instead of reacting, you know, like a horse's ass, because that's the way I used to do it. I loved it. As a matter of fact, I thrived on anger. But thank God it's not like that today. And it's just, I'll just say this and then be done with this. This program has given me back, truly, truly given me back my life. You know, I really thought I was living before when I was running to Frisco and taking over stripper bars and tearing up hotel rooms with the club, you know, and you know, I look back on that, and I can't correct everything. I can't repair all the damage that I did. I could only repair so much, and the way I can make it up, and my sponsor showed me, is by doing good things for other people and towards other organizations, you know, because some of that stuff, if I tried to make it right, you know, there's just no way to do it. You know, you can't go and find everybody that you offended and, you know, correct it. The ones you can, it's great. Do it. You know, it makes, for me, it made me feel better, you know. And I got in this program because I knew I had to quit drinking. I mean, I knew if I didn't, I don't know if I was going to die or not, but it was just going downhill fast. But I only did it to stop drinking. And what it gave me was so much more, man. This program's given me a life like none other. You know, I've bought a home again. You know, I've got bills that I pay, and I have a wife that I love. You know, and that's something that I never really had before. I had it, but I really didn't. You know what I mean? But anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Shane. Thank you, Shane. Another hand.